this. And the second thing is, we're starting a new year. So happy new year. We're starting a new beginning. And as you have seen here in verse 17, the old has passed on. The new has come. Forget about the old. Don't think about what we have done or mistakes. If we come to the Lord, we are forgiven, as verse 19 says. So if therefore someone is in Christ, it starts with that, be sure you are in Christ, then we are a new creature, and the old things have passed and the new has come into our lives. So when we read this, we can view it from two viewpoints. Either secular, the worldly viewpoint, and the biblical. We can say, okay, we make these resolutions every day in this coming week. I already heard the first resolution this morning from someone here. I try not to be so grouchy. The one that said it knows who said it. I try not to be so grouchy. That's the first one I heard. So we have, from a human view, we make these things in the next week or 2 weeks or whenever in the beginning. And we might promise ourselves, okay, we abide by that. We will do things or not do things anymore that we used to do. We will clean up our garage. We will be nicer to our spouse. We will be waking up earlier. We will not be late for church. We'll stop smoking. We will exercise more. We lose weight. Then the last time, I will go to church. And the list go on and on and on. You know that. And don't have to be pointing out all the wrong things. So we are familiar with that. And in looking back, we have made mistakes. Not only last year, but the year before. And if you pile them up, they were really high. But don't forget verse 19. If we are in Christ, what does it say? Oh. The trespasses will not be counted anymore. So isn't that for us just a nice feeling that we can have this new start here? So old things passed away, new things have come, we say to ourselves. We'll do better. But mind you, we are looking now from a worldly point of view. We didn't say anything, God help us, we'll consult God. Not yet. Because verse 18 that follows verse 17 has a phrase in there that says, all these things come from God. Now, we haven't talked about that. When our human minds look at the worldly things, verse 18 has no influence. We don't say that. So most of the time we can say, yeah, that's true. God has no dealing with that. It's ourselves. We decide what we want to do or not to do. We want to decide what we want to throw away when we clean up the garage. Maybe there's a godly input in one of them when we go to church. Then the Holy Spirit will press us and will prompt us to do so. But for most of these good intentions, it's just a secular worldview. We have good intentions, we keep the house clean, but if these good intentions are not God inspired, not infused by God, they can be subject to the wind of change. Today we say this, tomorrow somebody says, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that. We see an ad on TV, and or good intentions or good resolution is out the door. We are dictated most of the time, but what the world around us dictates to us. So verse 18 has no bearing on our decisions most of the time. I put a word on that. I said, most of these resolutions are man-made. Man-made, not God-made. Clearly, not God is not in many of those. But there is another point of view that we can take. And what's the true meaning of this passage? There's another dimension to this. It points to the new life that we have in Christ. Old things have passed away. New has come. We are new creature, it says. And then verse 18 becomes important. Because all these things now are from God. You know, so if we look at it and meditate on it from a biblical view, we see that the entire 17, 18, and 19 verses are just one concept. You know, John MacArthur, Carhu's teacher, you can say, because he went to John MacArthur's school, says this very eloquently. Let me read to you what he says. John MacArthur says, after a person is regenerated, changed, he says, old value systems, priorities, beliefs, loves, pleasures, plans are gone, are changed. You know, value systems. How do we value our existence? How do we look at other people? Priorities. Shall we just take another 5 minutes in bed? It is so warm, it is so cold outside. Well, we have a priority. We have to go to church because we promised. Beliefs, even loves, pleasures, gambling pleasures, pleasures to go to soccer games instead of other things that are more God-oriented. Plans are gone. So John says, after a person is regenerated, changed, he does say, although, evil and sin are still present. Evil and sin. But now the believers see them in a new perspective. And these two, evil and sin, that are still in us, no longer should control us. I say should. Sometimes they do control us still, but they should not control us anymore. Why? They are held in check by our new spirit. They are controlled, they press down. So don't let them escape. Don't let them go back and control us. So that's for Jonathan. These two are still not in us, but they are held in check by our new spirit. God's word says, new things have come. The believer's new concept of everything, and I say everything in our lives, has changed when we are in Christ. And there's a new reality now. And the person that has been changed now lives for other things. He doesn't live anymore for temporal things, but for eternal things. His goals in the future. You hear so often now in the paper, about the squabbles in Congress. Yeah, they fix things. Yeah, they fix things, but the things they fixed are the now things. Let's, what they call, kick the can down the road. We don't want to take these hard steps that we should. That's not the way God looks at things. We look at eternal things in the future when he raptures us, when we are in heaven. Don't kick that can down the road and says, well, you know, next week I'll take care of that. 2 months from now. And this thing, what we see now in the paper and has been going on for years now, this just, wait, well, we postpone it. We'll take care of it. It's not a thing that God approves of. It's my belief. Because his word says we should take care of those things. And if we are a new person, we will consult God what to do. And then John MacArthur says also, the Apostle James identifies this transformation from old to new so well, he says in the word in James' book. He says, James says, that's the faith that produces works. That's the faith that produces works. And anything that we do now in our daily volunteering for church, before the transformation, it was a duty. And we were expecting the approval of the world for it. But now we are a new creature. Everything is different. We are not seeking the approval of the world anymore. We are seeking God's approval. You see what a difference a perspective can give you. So, as we are making our New Year's resolutions, and any of you, I'm sure, is making one at least, what road point of view are we choosing? The first one or the second one? You know, humankind has made great improvements in our knowledge of things. The gain is really amazing in the last 10 years. You know, we acquired the ability to talk to other persons that we do not even know on Facebook. It will be sent all over the world in many seconds. We can instantly translate the Word of God, normal word, not only the Word of God, in Latin, Greek, Aramaic, and it gives a different meaning because the word choices and the words in those languages are different than from the English meaning. If you look at education, science, new gadgets that have come up, is life better? It's not better, maybe easier. You know, we don't have to run to a telephone cell anymore and find one in town. It's becoming easier. We can grab in our pocket and we have one there. But if it's better, some people doubt that. You know, what has vanished? Our simplicity. They call it, in certain circles, or innocence. The simplicity of things, the innocence that we have, is gone, vanished. It is, everything is pressed onto us to do, to go. We live with fears and worries. What are those worries, that fear that has increased? Well, we worry that we don't have enough. With technology, Every little sign that we have in our body that is not in accordance to what this computer shows will be checked for cancer. Our fear for cancer has increased tremendously. I can remember that when people were not sick but went to the doctor, they didn't have this fear that the doctor would say, oh, I'll put you through a scanner and we'll see if there is something wrong with you. Didn't have it. The scanners were not there. That is one example of how we lost our innocence, our simplicity. Violence, broken homes, families. Why, would one ask? The answer is because the focus is on ourselves, not on God, most of the time. We need to hang on to Jesus. We need to hang on to him and say, stay with me. We are new creation. We look the same. We look sometimes a lot older from day to day. But inside we should be new. Inside we have a new life, a new spirit. The old has passed. The new has come. There's a pastor that says, we should be aware that we have a new manager. We have new management in us. That new manager is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Give everything to him, and he will manage your life. And it will give you peace. If you can leave it over to him. I will tell you a true story now, just to break the biblical words that I say. It's a true story. Let me see. Yeah, we have sufficient time. And Helen, my wife, can attest to that. I was involved in a business in the heavy-duty truck business. You know, these huge things that are in front of containers. Drums, brakes, coils, asbestos lining were familiar words to me. How I got into it, that is a story in itself and a miracle by itself. All of God's providence and doing had nothing to do with it. There were three owners, tell you the names, Roger, David, and myself. Roger was the oldest, he was about 50 years old, and he was the main owner. Dave and I came later on the scene. Roger was a new Christian. Dave and I were just a few years earlier than he in church. It was a small business, about 12 employees in total. And we were jogging along very well. We were not rich, but we had a job, and it was very solid. Roger was the main owner, like I said, so he had the saying and everything. Dave took care of the sales over the counter, and I was in administration and in finance. So it was a good combination. Then one day, Roger came in touch with Pastor Hilst. Pastor Hilst was a street preacher from the Midwest who had moved to Los Angeles. We were living in Los Angeles then, and the business was also in Los Angeles. And literally, in the first year that he came to Los Angeles, he was preaching on the corners of the street until he got called to head a small church in Venice. Venice is not far from LA Airport, close to West LA, where you have quite a few celebrities, and the harbor. And his dream was to start a ministry for the homeless. Teach him the word of God, turned around by helping them to learn a new trade. But, he says, for this, he needed the man to be away from the city. There were too many things that go wrong with them. And he says, when I have that facility, I'll take away their welfare checks. They have to go to the welfare and say, I don't want your checks anymore. They had to depend completely on the Lord. So that was his dream. And he had his eyes on a small ranch, older ranch, about 45 minutes from L.A. in Canyon Country. Jude and Craig probably know where it is, Canyon Country. And he asked us if we could help him acquire that. The price was $100,000. In those days, 1970s, huge amount. Oops, we said, we have debts in our business. This is going to upset our financial outlook. But after we had seen the property and heard the concept, we decided to help. So we says, okay, we purchased that with a mortgage. We go to the bank, and here is the property, and you go after that. Shortly after this happened, Roger called us together in a meeting in which he introduced Mr. X. I won't tell his name because some of you may have heard of him. He was a promoter. He was a consultant to business. He could do anything to a business. He was associated with the Christian Science Church and I think also with the Scientology. He was a shaker. He could do anything. He was successful, traveled a lot, man of the world, had good relations. He could attain anything if you set your mind to it, he says. Period. At that time, the Chrysler Corporation was in trouble and had decided to get out of the heavy truck business. So Mr. X proposed that we buy brake parts inventory because he says we could get it for 10 cents on the dollar. So he says, isn't that a good thing? Roger went for it. He was the main owner. He says, we'll do it. I had my reservations, but couldn't do anything. Roger signed within a few days, and it was financed by Chrysler. In reflection on this situation later, I believe that Roger wanted to have more funds to help the Bible Tabernacle. That's the name of the church in Venice. Did he want to help God in obtaining this and get more? I don't know. Could be. Remember this verse now. I'll keep on and on. Come back to this. Old things have passed. Behold, new things have come. And all these things are from God. Was this a new thing that came from God? And going back, it was, because we prayed to God, Pastor Hills prayed to God, and God gave us the mortgage loan. It was. All right, here we are. In less than 2 years, we had new things come, old things went away. And this purchase was clearly to bring the gospel of Christ to the homeless. A week later, after the meeting about Chrysler, word came from Detroit. When can we send the merchandise to you? Expect 40 boxcars and containers with the merchandise by train. If you imagine 40 boxcars and trains, and containers. by train. Tell us when we can send them. Well, quickly we found out that we needed 100,000 square feet additional warehouse space. That is about the size of this lot. Imagine covered one big warehouse. Renting was expensive. If we could not pay the rent, what would we do with the merchandise? So Mr. X convinced Roger buy the property, buy a property. And we found one not too far away, a huge, previously furniture factory, which went belly up, went bankrupt, and was still full with sofas that were half finished, chairs, material, whatnot. The price was good. It was about $12 per square foot, and the bank gave us a loan because of that price. And there came the 40 containers a few weeks later. Freight was huge. Additional labor to bring everything in that. Utility bills, fire insurance, taxes. The mortgage payments alone were $10,000 a month. Dave and I called Roger and Mr. X and asked, how do you plan to do this? How do you plan to sell? When you sell, and they said, well, we can sell the 10 cents on the dollar items for at least 80 cents. So we make eight times our purchase price. Said, okay, you sell something, but in business, it takes 30 to 60 days before your money comes in. And in that time, we have to pay the mortgage and all these other bills and Chrysler. The solution, borrow from the bank. We did, and God was with us. The bank gave us a loan, a credit line, rather, credit line. Well, I will not expand on other things, you know, that we had to pay. But, of course, there were not enough sales to pay the mortgage and the expenses. Bankruptcy was imminent. Within 6 months, we looked at bills that were tremendous. We were desperate. None of us had a big bank account. All we had was a job and a company. Again, the old has passed. Within 2 years, the new has come. But was that something that we wanted to have? As I go and recollect all this, I'm shaking my head. I said, how things can happen and change in a short time. From a comfortable life into a desperate situation. Was God in all of this? What have we done? We were desperate, Dave and I, and so was Roger. What to do? Well, Dave and I decided that Mr. X had to go. That was the first time. This promoter, consultant that promised the world to us had to go. We told Roger that on a Friday, he agreed to fire him. And the next Saturday when we came, he was rehired by Roger. He said he had changed his mind. He was convinced that he was a good guy. He rose and hired him back. I forget whether it was the Saturday after that, maybe Helen knows, or the Sunday after the Saturday. But I got a call in the morning from Ella. Monday. Ella. That is Roger's wife. Come immediately, because Roger took his shotgun, went to the parking lot to go to the warehouse. I jumped in the car, drove 30 minutes to City of Commerce. We lived in Los Angeles. City of Commerce is one of the suburbs. But arrived too late. Roger had shot himself, committed suicide. And all I had left was there to identify the body. When I think back at these events and repeat the words, old things have passed, new things have come, and meditate on the first, do not be equally yoked. Remember where that is? I realize that God's word does not lie. God's word warns us. God's word is for our education, for our benefit, for our salvation. We were yoked there with someone that was not a believer, Mr. X. Clearly, our decision to listen to Mr. X was wrong. By the parts was without God's approval. And also, it would bring the purchase of the church or the ranch in jeopardy, because if the company was gone, we could not pay the mortgage payments for the ranch. Pastor Hills was praying for us. We were praying for ourselves, but God is good. The decision was made by Dave and I to sell most of the older parts for scrap. Scrap it. 10 cents on the dollar, what do we do? What good does it do us if we cannot sell it? It was sold for scrap for 5 cents on the dollar. So we lost on that. But only the parts that were old, that could not be sold or had difficulty to sell. We retained the more current inventory, get out of that huge warehouse, and stuff what we have left in the existing buildings that we had at that time. And like I said, God was good, because when we tried to sell the warehouse, I think within 3 months we had sold it for the same price. So we were out of that. And Dave could sell the good parts at a discount, still making 60 cents on every 10 cents. And slowly but surely, we pulled out from under the debt. And a few years later, we were even able to pay off the mortgage for the Bible Tabernacle. You see, when we make resolutions, when we do things, it is important that we consult God. It is. A situation can change so quickly from what we think on a human level that would be the best thing to do to something that is miserable. We learned a lot. We learned new things have come, yes, but if they are not from God, stay away. And although we made a mistake in the for-profit deal, the new thing of helping the gospel of Christ get a foothold in Kenyan country with the help of the Bible Tabernacle saved us. It saved the company. As God put us back on track, he protected his property in Kenyan country by giving us our business back, so to say. Until today, the Bible Tabernacle is still in Venice. They are thriving. It's ministering to the down and out. Kenyan country has added buildings. They have saved many lives. I think that right now I receive regularly a letter from them. They have something like 70 to 100 men in there. And many lives have been transformed. And the Hills family, Pastor Hills, has died. But his son is now the pastor. And Pat Hills, his wife, wife, I'm the older pastor, is still the administrator of the church. Amazing. I just tell you this story to see two things here. The human mind things and the biblical point of view. So old things have passed away, new things come, but if they are not of God, stay away. And as we make our resolutions, don't forget to ask God for input, pray, and with his approval, the resolutions we make become profitable for us and are not subject to the wind of change, where anything can happen because it is on our own judgments that we relied. You know, when I drove down here to church, is it down or up to church? I don't know. I think it's up. You know, I looked at the mountain and I see these little houses there, almost invisible. They are just tiny white dots. And then I think, There are women, there are men in there. There are people in there. I cannot see them. I can only surmise they are there. They must be there because there are hundreds and thousands of them. I cannot even see the cars driving. And then I realize that what I see and what I'm conscious with, what I'm aware is just in this, 200 feet area. I know Carol is here, Pat is here. I see them. They're my size. But up there, does God see that also when he is in the heavens? Does God see all these little things? And when you are far away, you only see this earth wall, this thing. You cannot even distinguish the houses anymore. How does God manage that? 7 billion of these tiny things? And then when I think about it and I reflect on that, it's another reflection. I think that is why God sent his son. To be at our size, to be among us, the same as us. Because otherwise, how could we identify with God that is far away? That is why he is a spirit. Because a spirit can be anywhere. But at the same time, he has become man. He's among us. We can identify with the man, God. Now the Trinity makes sense. Because I read a book yesterday. It says, you know, Christianity is so difficult. They put this Trinity in there. We cannot understand that. That is nonsensical. So I said, here God became a man so that we could identify with him. And when the man died and went back to God, Jesus Christ, he left us not alone. No, he gave the Holy Spirit is in us. What a revelation. What a reflection. So, wonderful that we have these passages in the Bible where we can reflect on, meditate, and find the truth, find the solution, find what God meant us to know. In closing, there is another reflection. Another verse came to mind. Because when you think about these things, you know, all kind of verses that you know come to you. In John 3:3, it says, you must be born again. In all resolutions that we make, we are to be born again. The old have passed. The new has come. But let's treat these new things as we are newborn. We are newborn creatures. Old from the outside, like I said, but new from the inside. Because, like verse 18 says, because all these things are from God, who reconciled himself to us through Christ. And he concludes with not imputing, not counting the trespasses. What a wonderful passage to start the new year with. So my message to you is reflect on these things before you make your resolution. Happy New Year. And let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our Lord, as we step into this new year, we ask you, Father, that in all we do, in all the resolutions we make, that we consult you, that we ask you, if that's the plan that you have for our lives. And as we look, Father, back into our past year and past years, we ask your forgiveness for those resolutions where we did not include you in our plan. We ask you, Father, that as we go into this new year, that your Holy Spirit will guide us, that he will lead us. And Father, that the love of Jesus Christ will blossom in us so that we can give it through not only among ourselves, but to everybody, Father, that want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you now for providing for us. We pray your blessings, Father, for the food that you have given to us and that we partake in. And we pray that the fellowship and the rest of the day, Father, may be wonderful and a blessing to you. Thank you again, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.